Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your Wiretaps Podcast for Monday, April 20th, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown. Alex, how are things?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
So you know how I was complaining last week, we didn't get many reviews or ratings, it's gone a little quiet. Well, sure enough, somebody who probably was listening, I guess, and felt sorry for us, dropped a review, and I just wanted to read it to you because it's really short and it's quite positive. So they said, "My favorite MBA podcast on the market. Graham and Alex do a fantastic job of providing valuable insight, not just into what adcoms consider when reviewing a candidate, but also what an applicant should consider once accepted. They're very engaging, positive, and a great listen for all candidates along their MBA admissions journey." So that definitely pulls at the heartstrings. I was really happy to see that review come in.
No, that's awesome. And also proves that we have a listener.
Yes, at least one. Yeah. In terms of update stuff, I did want to just call everyone's attention to a new series that we launched on the site called, I guess it's sort of Business School During COVID-19. And what we've done is, because we know people are worried about this stuff, we actually started talking to current students. I think we've done Yale, Kellogg, maybe Chicago Booth already. There are a bunch more to come. And we just wanted to find out, how's it going online? You know, all the classes are online. Everything is happening online. And so we wanted to find out. And we thought, this would be useful for people who already have offers on hand and kind of wondering, how are the schools, dealing with this stuff? And so, yeah, there's a whole series, and we've done, I guess, three, and there'll be more to come. So check those out on the website.
Yeah, Sloan, I think, is one that's on the site today.
Oh, there you go. So I'm not even up to date. Yeah, I got to read our site more, I guess. But yeah, so we have Sloan out there now. And again, there are more to come. Alex, what else is going on, though? Is there anything else that you wanted to kind of call people's attention to in terms of, where people are in the process now?
No, I mean, obviously, we're all, in the midst of this horrific pandemic and the issues all related to that, the increasing uncertainty, I think, in the MBA marketplace for candidates applying for this upcoming season. And I imagine for first and second year students in schools, this is clearly altering the landscape in a way that nobody could have predicted. In terms of conversations on the wires, we have seen some conversation in terms of what some schools are doing, adjusting their round three application deadlines, as well as maybe even going back to earlier rounds to see if they should re-look at some decisions. Shifting those round three deadlines. So there's a lot of that conversation going on. In terms of what's upcoming this week, there's only a couple of application deadlines. I think Wharton's scheduled to release round three interview invites. LBS might actually be doing something too. So there's a little bit of additional activity. But yeah, there's no doubt COVID-19 has wreaked havoc into what would be ordinarily at this time of the year a very sort of upbeat time, as round two admits are choosing where they're going to go and various other things. But yeah, things are very much up in the air, Graham.
So what do you make of, I know there was a lot of chatter on the site about this whole Kellogg thing, where Kellogg is, I guess, reaching out to people,
yeah,
and, saying, look, if you can't take the test, you don't have to take it. But also, a kind of unusual move, they mentioned that if you'd applied in round one, or I think even round two, and didn't make the cut, you could actually reapply under certain circumstances. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. You can see arguments both sides here, I think. Certainly on the one hand, it looks weak on the part of Kellogg potentially going back to see if they could actually admit a few more folks and get a few more folks into the pipeline. But their explanation, to me, if it's genuine, I think adds, it just makes it more fair. If they're going to admit people in round three that don't need to take the test, then they're basically saying, and that also means we need to look at folks in round one or in round two and reevaluate them without that test being part of that decision-making process. So to me, that's a fair way to do it. It's whether they should be doing it at all is definitely up in question. And there's a lot of feedback on the site right now, people debating this particular move. I don't think Kellogg's the only one doing it. I think there are a couple of other schools in that sort of Tia also either considering doing it or doing similar moves. Things are extraordinary right now, and schools are trying to figure out a way to navigate through this situation.
Yeah, agreed. I think we'll see how this plays out over the long term, but I certainly understand all the top schools kind of concerns about, are they going to have enough folks ultimately matriculate, and particularly, international students.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy.
I mean, that's the big elephant in the room, Graham, isn't it? What's going on with international students who are overseas, don't have access to getting their visa? I mean, all the embassies are shut down and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a huge problem, I think.
So hopefully, we'll see the continued flattening of the curve in terms of, people, the kind of COVID-19 progression. And yeah, hopefully everyone will be in school in the fall and we won't be as worried as we are now. But these are really difficult times. So
yeah.
So one other thing, just the kind of weekly tally, I guess you're up over 320 likes, Alex. So you're continuing to give people good advice on the site. I'm almost at 150, so I'm feeling a little bit better this week. And, Elliot, the co-founder of ClearAdmit, has been chiming in a lot and gathering a lot of accolades as well. So, yeah, continued activity. I think, as we've said in the last couple episodes, I think people are using ClearAdmit and DecisionWire a bit more than they might usually, just because of the need to kind of interact with other people who've gotten in and have these discussions that ordinarily would take place at welcome events. So we're obviously happy that that's, that they're able to use the platform to do it, and we'll continue to chime in and offer advice there. So you mentioned earlier that the fact that we had a review meant that we had at least one listener. I have a kind of a special surprise today, and we're doing something really different with our wiretaps portion of the podcast, in that we have two actual guests that are going to join us to literally in real time talk about their candidacies and where they got in. It's going to be two DecisionWire wiretaps candidates that we're going to talk about today. And I'm really excited because it not only means that we're trying something new, but I did check with them and they both listened to the show. So we have at least three listeners, Alex.
And I reckon that both of them also have accrued a number of likes on our wires. We'll have to ask them that too. I'm not exactly sure who they might be in the community, but I reckon that they might be some of our style contributors.
All right. So without further ado, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to we'll dive in and get into these two DecisionWire candidacies. As you will hear, I mean, they both have challenges that they're facing in terms of deciding on a school. So we'll get into that. But what's cool is they're going to join us. So the first candidate is Wiretaps candidate number one. So this is candidate who, her name is Marsha, and she had a 3.9 undergrad GPA, 710 on the GMAT, 10 years of work experience in media and entertainment, of which most of it has been at like traditional film studios, although a little bit of time at an entertainment law firm, working in kind of film deal analysis, media M&A, and currently working with like negotiating talent and media deals for entertainment clients. Now, Marsha wants to get into consulting, ideally with a focus on media and tech, and maybe ultimately move into kind of an executive leadership role at a media tech hybrid company, of which there are many now. You think about Apple, Netflix, Amazon Studios, so that kind of stuff. And Marsha applied to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, MIT, and Columbia. And Marsha, are you on the line? I want you to actually tell everyone how it turned out and what kind of scholarship money you got, because you obviously aimed high with kind of Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, MIT, and Columbia. But Marsha, if you're here, welcome to the show. And yeah, tell us how this all worked out for you.
Oh, hi, guys. Yes, I am here. And it was one of those moments of there was so little time to put everything together. And I realized I didn't have the luxury to diversify. I had to just pick my top five and just shoot for the stars. And if I got dinged from everything, that was just going to be the path it took. So I kind of was in a huge emotional spin the last few weeks as all these admits came out. Columbia was the first one with the rolling admission, and I was floored when not only did I get in, but they offered $120,000 worth of scholarship money, which I was like, okay, well, if this is my only option, then this isn't a bad one. And about a week or two later, Wharton invites came out. they're like, well, hello, we'd also like to have you, which again, jaw drop, crazy primal scream. And they offered $55,000 a scholarship. And then that next week, I got the call from Harvard, MIT, and Stanford in the same day. I pretty much was completely out of emotional energy by the time that day ended. It opened with, I'm not sure if you guys have heard, but Harvard does this video where they basically show someone walking you into a class and the whole class screams, the answer is yes. And so it's very emotional. I lost it with that. Obviously, Harvard gives you $0, which is super fun. MIT called an hour later and they offered $100,000, which I actually lost my voice during the call because I remember just being silent with, I didn't think MIT gave out money like that. And I don't think they normally do, but that was unexpected to say the least. And then that evening at 9 o'clock when I was crawling into bed, Kirsten Moss called and that was Stanford. So I just, within 24 hours, it was just like, whoa, did that really happen? And then I think I just took a few days of just being in complete and utter shock because I never thought that I would ever in a million years go 5 for 5, to be completely honest.
No, that's incredible.
Yeah, before I ask Alex to chime in, I wanted to just confirm you have listened to the podcast because I know sometimes we're nervous about that, but it sounds like you've listened. And then Alex, I just, once Marcia kind of confirms that she is aware of what we do on this podcast, I want you to kind of have at this profile and give her your feedback, because this is tricky. She's run the table and there's a lot of money on the table too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's absolutely incredible. I'm curious who called you from Sloan. Was it Rod or who was that?
So it was not Rod. It was the woman, her name is Jen Barbell. She was the admissions officer who actually interviewed me.
Oh, nice.
And our interview actually ended up being virtual because of COVID-19. So that's where I was wearing pajamas on the bottom and a suit up top.
not the advice we give for video interviews in case something does go wrong, but there we go. No, I mean, frankly, that's absolutely spectacular. And I think, clearly as Graham was articulating your profile and your background, I'm thinking, well, clearly you're going to be targeting the top schools. I know this is off the beat and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but that Stanford First essay always intrigues me. What was your theme for that essay?
Yeah, so I took an interesting spin on it. I probably actually changed it 3 different times, but for the what matters most and why, I actually used a physical object as kind of like a symbol for what matters most. So growing up, I grew up with just my mom and sister and we were the Garcia girls. So there's this wooden sign called, that said the Garcia girls on the front of our house. And so the sign, the Garcia girls was what mattered most, but it symbolized being able to overcome societal expectations, be able to overcome any, as I grew up, the different obstacles I face, it was like this memory of, hey, remember the sign, remember you can overcome it. And then I just made a story off of that.
Very good. Very nice. Yeah, I just think that's a terrific essay. So I'm always curious of the successful candidates, how they approach it. Obviously, if you're getting an admits at Wharton and Columbia and MIT and getting money from those folks, that's a very positive signal. My understanding is with Harvard and Stanford, you don't get money at this point. Their money is all involved in sort of on the financial aid, the sort of need side of it rather than the merit side of it. So there's still time for those guys to obviously sweeten the pot, but it's going to be on the need side.
Yeah.
Frankly, very few people will turn down Harvard or Stanford for Wharton, Columbia or Sloan, even if money's involved. I do know one of those people though, right, Graham? I mean, we keep having to reinforce that it does occur, right, Graham?
It does.
the few listeners do know, I think, at this point that Graham did actually make that choice when he chose Wharton over Harvard. But frankly, certainly with your goals on the media side, tech side, I mean, Harvard, Stanford, it has to be between the two, Graham, wouldn't you think? And you're on the West Coast now I don't know if I should have revealed that because you didn't reveal that, but, you know, frankly, I think Stanford does sound like a great option, but you could go either way, right? Harvard would be a great option. Stanford would be a terrific option here.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, obviously, for me, it comes down to Harvard, Stanford, and maybe the, you know, kind of dark horse of Wharton because there's a decent sized scholarship. But I think, you know, if you want to work at, you know, Apple or Netflix or Amazon, I mean, these are West Coast companies and Stanford's got the tech piece. I honestly don't know. And I would encourage you to really look into, like, what are their kind of media and entertainment chops? Like, I don't know offhand, like, how active that club is at Stanford. I assume that there is one and that it's active and that they place people. You know, you could talk to the career services office. I do know, you know, at HBS, it's pretty active, and Wharton as well. So I think, you know, doing some of that digging would be worthwhile, but it's a tricky call because it sounds like, I mean, as Alex says, you're currently on the West Coast, which I think we can reveal. And it sounds like do you want to stay there long term? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. The goal after all of this is that even if, you know, say the summer internship happens elsewhere, the goal is to eventually be back in Southern California.
So, and I don't know if you've done this either, but I do wonder, like, what's the alumni network like for HBS and Wharton and Stanford in, like, the LA market, and how, you know, you would think that Stanford would have a number just because the quantity of graduates from Stanford who stay in California is incredibly high. And so I would assume they have a lot, but something tells me that HBS and Wharton may have a fair number because they're bigger schools too. So they pump out more grads per year. So.
Yeah. I mean, that is something that, you know, in the last, you know, week and a half since, you know, these, you know, admissions came out, I have been, you know, doing my best to, like, ask a lot of questions. You know, a lot of the students and alumni start to call you up from each school. So trying to get an idea, I think for me, I feel like I've narrowed it myself down to Harvard and Stanford. I think there's almost a recency bias because I was just on Harvard's campus for the first time for my interview. And you know, first time being in Boston, first time being in, like, an old city like that, for someone who's born and raised in Southern California, there was definitely some just, like, mystique and excitement about, ooh, it's cold here, this is fun, oh my gosh, look at this campus. So I feel like I have this emotional attachment to it just because I was just there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it to Stanford within this year yet. But I know that, again, it's, you know, they couldn't be more different in how they feel. But in terms of talking to the alumni, you know, one of the things that is pretty relevant is that there are a lot of Harvard grads in Los Angeles. There are actually quite a bit of them in media. It seems like people who want to get into media from Harvard all come here, and there's quite a bit of them. When I spoke to someone who actually from GSB, who currently works at Netflix, you know, they did let me know, they're like, there's a smaller network just due to the fact that there's less of them. It's like, there's a smaller network here. He's like, we're very, very strong. He's like, we pretty much make a pact. If someone reaches out to us, we will immediately get back to them. So it almost seems like you have to decide, do you want just the large number of people that most likely will be at any company you are trying to work with, or less people, but that are going to be very, very devout to trying to, you know, help you with your goals. And that's where I'm actually, I think that's one of the big points that I'm having a hard time trying to decide, which do I think is more valuable. But it seems like there are both in Los Angeles, but yes, the sheer quantity, there are quite a bit more HBS graduates.
Frankly, I think obviously the larger network at Harvard, the smaller, potentially more passionate, committed network of Stanford, it's kind of like that sort of Tuck explanation too. They have a smaller network, but they're very passionate alum. Now, honestly, I think it's going to end up being a wash, right? You're a graduate of Harvard, you're a graduate of Stanford, you're going to LA, you're going to find a very, very good opportunity. I think at the end of the day, you know, from either campus, I think it'll serve you very well.
Yeah, I'll just echo that. I mean, I think you're right to have narrowed this the way you have, and it sounds like you're doing all the right research. I think at the end of the day, it's also, these two schools are really different. It's funny because I think actually Wharton Harvard and Stanford are each, people often apply to the three, but the three could not be more different from one another. Mm-hmm. So I think some of it is fit, you know, and thinking about, you know, the first year at HBS, it's all mandatory, all case-based, and there's this incredible cohesiveness that happens because of that, right? And then you think of a place like Stanford, things are a bit more laid back. There's a, you know, you can kind of chart your own course a little bit more and wave some things. And so, it's just they're different and there's a really different feel. And so I would encourage you to keep exploring that, think it through. Obviously, to the extent that you can keep us posted, I know we want to make sure we have time for our second guest here, but I would say you've done the right homework here. And you know, it comes down probably to Harvard and Stanford. And I would just, continue to explore and think about fit.
Yep. That is something I am doing. And as you said, they're completely different. And I think that's why I love them for almost completely opposite things. So it's hard to, it's hard to narrow it down, but I understand this is a good problem to have, but it doesn't make the choice any easier. But no, I appreciate your guys' input.
Yeah, no, and actually, Marcia, we so much appreciate you coming on the show. Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two, and this is Brad. Brad, you are also West Coast based, and I'm going to give our listeners a little bit of background before we get to hear from you about how things worked out. So Brad, you did your undergraduate at Georgetown, 3.67 GPA. You hit the GRE out of the park with a 327. Work experience, 10 years of experience in investment operations and product management. So working closely with investment teams and portfolio managers, but not in a kind of direct research capacity. But post MBA, you want to transition more into a kind of investment research role at a mutual fund manager, hedge fund, or potentially even transition to private equity. And you applied to Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, MIT, and Columbia, which actually we've got, so both of our Decision Wire folks today, Alex, are applied to kind of the best of the best kind of thing. So tell us, Brad, first of all, welcome to the show, and tell us, how did this kind of work out for you?
Thank you. And I have to say, before I begin, I've been a loyal listener of the show for quite some time. I can remember listening to my first Wiretaps podcast probably before round one applications were due for this cycle. So you, both of you, have helped me learn a lot about this process and refining applications. So I have to say thank you first.
Oh no, it's our pleasure.
And then in terms of decisions, so I was very fortunate to get offers from Columbia, Wharton, and Stanford. When I started this process, I was hoping for just one of those. So to have those three phenomenal programs say yes has been just a fantastic result.
Yeah, wow, congratulations. So Alex Brown, do you want to weigh in here? Because again, you know, another candidate with some great options.
Yeah, no, absolutely fantastic. And Brad might be the person that wrote the review you read out at the beginning of the program, Graham. Who knows?
I don't know.
But joking aside, Brad, were you applying round one or round two?
Sorry, I applied during round two.
Oh, round two. So like our other guests, you didn't have an opportunity to do any admit weekends or really, you know, look at these programs after the decisions, right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. So that's obviously been unfortunate that we don't have the opportunity to be on campus and to, you know, really get a good feel for the schools. But that being said, all the programs are rolling out some, you know, virtual options, and you know, those are beneficial up to a point. But then it's, you know, it's obviously difficult, and you know, we'd rather be on campus.
Yeah, for sure. So Stanford and Wharton and Columbia, is that correct?
That is correct. That's the three.
Yeah. No, that's really, really, really cool. So Stanford, no scholarship at this point yet, I assume. And was there any scholarship money involved with the other two?
There was not. Yeah. So there was no merit scholarship from Wharton or Columbia. And yes, we are yet to hear about need-based aid at Stanford.
Okay. Well, in that case, Graham, and obviously you can weigh in more directly, but it sounds to me like If you just look at it in order of sort of, you know, overall brand quality tier of school or whatever, you'd probably say Stanford, Wharton, Columbia, sort of that order, right? And, you know, like Graham said, the experience is going to be very different. You know, Columbia, New York City, Wharton, different again. Stanford, much more intimate environment on the West Coast. Brad, I assume your long-term goal is to be on the West Coast.
That is correct. I think that's my preference, since that's, you know, where I'm currently located. But if there was a fantastic opportunity that presented itself on the East Coast, I would take a look at it. So it's not like it has to be in California, but that would be the preference.
Yeah. And as our listeners know, and we've talked about this on a number of occasions, you cannot dismiss the importance of geography when you're making these decisions. So if the West Coast is the preference, frankly, that just strengthens the case, I think, for Stanford over Wharton and Columbia. If you wanted to be in New York City and you knew that was your goal post-MBA, then, you know, I think that shifts the balance significantly to either Columbia or Wharton. Not necessarily only Columbia, because Wharton's obviously just an Amtrak ride down, you know, very, very close. So plenty of Wharton folks going into New York City. Obviously, plenty of Columbia folks going into New York City, much more so, I would assume, than Stanford folks. But if you want to be on the West Coast, I mean, Graham, unless I'm missing something completely with the career aspiration itself, I would say Stanford has to be the winning ticket here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the only thing I want to add is, I think if we're thinking about, you know, as you say, prestige or ranking and all that stuff, like, you know, most people would say Stanford, then Wharton, then Columbia in that order. The only thing that gave me a little bit of pause are, Brad, your kind of career plan. So you've been doing kind of operations and product management in the kind of investment sector, but you want to move into actual, a kind of investment research role. And so I started thinking about, wow, you know, imagine, the connections that Wharton has in that domain, you know, particularly with like hedge funds, PE. And that's the only thing that kind of originally jumped out at me, was this idea that, wow, if you want the kind of best possible finance education, there are probably a few people who would argue that Wharton might actually have a bit of an edge. Now, with that said, I'm less familiar with the extent to which there's a lot of hedge fund and PE activity in California. I mean, I know there's a ton of VC. I think of New York as being a big place for hedge funds and stuff. So I guess that's something that, you know, you would need to do the research on. But clearly, no one would fault you. You want to be in California. Stanford has a great network out there. I just should probably caveat by saying Stanford has a great finance department too. And I think it's kind of an unsung strength, because people focus so much on tech and innovation at that institution. But, you know, it's not like you would get a bad finance education at Stanford at all, right? So I tend to agree with Alex when everything's kind of on the table, that Stanford's probably your best choice. But where are you leaning, and what kind of research have you done?
Yeah, it's a good point. And, each of the schools have an advantage with the type of career trajectory I'm looking for. And, you know, for example, for Columbia, one of the things that I really love about that program is the value investing program, which certainly isn't a guarantee. You need to apply into the program once you're a student there. But it is it's an exceptionally well-regarded investment program at the school. And in addition, you know, there is the opportunity to intern not only, you know, between your first and second year, but also during the school year as well with an investment firm in New York. So those are the attractive elements of Columbia. But for Wharton, it's obviously the preeminent finance program, or at least it's public notoriety for that. And yes, I mean, I think there's certainly truth to that. It is an exceptionally strong finance program from an academic perspective. And also the number of alumni in that area, whether it's, you know, East Coast or West Coast, there's certainly something to be said to the strength of the network, in that functional area. One of the things that I've also heard for Stanford, and yes, you know, Graham, I think you made a good point that it's, you know, it still has an exceptional finance program, but it's less well known, and that there is a potential advantage of you know, having less folks come, you know, into investment management out of Stanford, but if there are firms that are recruiting on campus directly, that your, you know, chances of getting an interview are potentially higher if you're in a smaller minority as opposed to those folks that are, you know, in the entrepreneurial or more, you know, tech focused sectors. So I think they all have a lot of unique advantages. And it's really a choice of just, you know, trying to select the best one, which is obviously very challenging.
Yeah, a great problem to have for sure.
Yeah, if you had to decide, what would it be if you had to put the money down today and go to one?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to say no to Stanford at the moment. When I think about, you know, all these factors, you know, one of the, you know, salient facts that I've had that have come through from conversations with alumni from all schools is you get out of it what you put into it. And I feel like if you go to a school like Stanford and you say, this is the career trajectory I want and I'm willing to, you know, put in the work to get there, I'd be hard pressed to believe that you wouldn't be able to access those opportunities. So that's why I'm certainly leaning towards Stanford, but it's, you know, I've certainly known of Columbia and Wharton for quite some time. I grew up on the East Coast. And, so it's difficult to, say no to the nostalgia.
Brad, if you don't mind me asking, what was your theme for the Stanford essay?
Sure. So it's a very difficult essay to write, and it really did take a fair amount of iterations and introspection. But what I landed on was talking about perseverance. I've been in endurance athletics. I ran track in college and ran marathons and Ironman triathlons after school. And, you know, I really prided myself on the, you know, physical perseverance I'd endure during a race. But then I've also encountered some challenges within, you know, my professional life and just enduring through changing organizations. But then also I've had some recent family hardship as well that's really made me tap into, you know, that perseverance that I've used many times before. And that was a message that I wanted to share with the class as well, that pure and simple message of persevering through challenge.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. I mean, I'm sorry for your family situation, but certainly perseverance is an attribute that business schools really do do value. So yeah, that's certainly a good topic for an essay like that.
And it's certainly certainly timely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brad, I do want to thank you for taking part. Now, Alex, I have there's a surprise. So, you know, this is the first time we've done kind of live wiretaps feedback to real life candidates and real listeners of the podcast. But there's a twist here in that, Marcia, do you want to tell us, are you still on the line? Can you tell us a little bit about how you know Brad?
Yeah, of course. I would love to do that. So Brad is actually, you know, he's a little bit more than a friend and a roommate. Brad is my husband.
So that makes this decision a little more challenging because...
it also makes you guys probably the smartest couple on the planet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely added a interesting element of extra stress to a household as we were both trying to rack our brains to write the essays, to get everything done. We were probably miserable for a few weeks because we definitely did everything in December, which was not, I would not recommend it. But yeah, we basically thought we'd roll the dice. We'd see where the admissions landed. We prayed that there'd be one that we crossed over at. And so we were overjoyed to have three, but now you've just got two people talking to students, hearing positives and pros from different programs, and we're trying to compare notes, and I think we're actually making each other crazy trying to figure out what's the best option or what's not, and we go back and forth every day.
So if I can lay this out, my understanding is that, you know, you remain a little bit torn between Harvard and Stanford, and Brad, it seems like, is leaning a bit more towards Stanford. But there is this scenario in which if you went to Harvard, he could go to Wharton and you guys would do kind of the long distance thing, but not bi-coastal. So it, you know, it could be doable with kind of him at Wharton, you at HBS, or the two of you could just end up at Stanford. What have you guys decided, or you're still kind of, it sounds like you're still talking to people and trying to figure it out?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we haven't fully decided just yet on. I think it's very hard to say no to Stanford, since it's, you know, arguably, you know, one of the best, or, you know, the best business school in the world. And we both got in. But no, there are certainly very strong elements that we alluded to before that, you know, are making us seriously consider the other options as well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess going back to something that Marcia said, you know, when you started this process, your hope was that you would overlap at one school. And you ended up with three, but it's really, you know, the one that you overlap on that's, you know, arguably top school in the world, or at least number one or two, right, is Stanford. And so I think a lot of our listeners would probably be like, oh, they should just go to Stanford. They want to be in California. It's a great school. And, you know, if Marcia hadn't gotten into HBS or something, it would have been a really simple decision probably. So yeah, this is tough. I definitely feel for you guys in that. I know it's kind of first world problems and there's a lot of other things going on right now, but it is also true that given the lack of in-person kind of admitted students events, it's kind of harder for you guys to really like dive into a community, meet a bunch of your future classmates and spend a weekend really kicking the tires on these programs. So I definitely feel for you guys. And Marcia, is Brad kind of waiting on you to sort of decide whether you want to be at, you know, Stanford or Harvard, or how are you guys going to do this?
So I think you kind of touched on that we've been doing. So we've been really trying to immerse ourselves in these virtual admit. They've kind of turned into a virtual admit month. The events are strung out over 3 weeks, which I think was meant to be a positive, especially if you only have one school you're looking at. I think it allows you to immerse yourself. When you're trying to choose between a handful of them, it's actually really overwhelming. I think that our attempts to research and engage in those has actually possibly been a bit negative, because for me, I've been sitting for 2 weeks listening to, you know, HBS, you know, videos or virtual events, and I will say they do a very good job at it. So I feel like they're pulling my heartstrings, and there just haven't been a lot of Stanford events yet to do the same. So, and also we're both working. So that's, you know, we're working. We're also trying to watch videos. We're like, hey, we're involved. So I don't know how, I think we need to in the next few days make a choice, just because it's just a really emotionally taxing to be going back and forth between it. Another thing that we've actually both been, or at least for me, has been a big issue is everything going on with COVID-19 and the complete uncertainty of what's happening this fall. It makes the thought of going to a program period actually kind of questionable. Are we not going to have internationals in the class at a school like Stanford, where there's about 43 to 45% internationals? It completely changes, you know, the entire program. And how do you learn from people around the world if they're not there? You know, like a big part of all of these programs is, you know, huge conferences that are held, the class experience of learning from each other, the synergy that's there, recruiting. If that can't happen.
And we've been, as you may know, I mean, we've been doing a lot of research on this very topic with admitted students, running a survey on the site. And so your concerns are not, you're not the only ones with these concerns. It's really, it's something that everyone's kind of asking. And I will say that makes me wonder if the idea of like piling your stuff in a car and driving north to Palo Alto to get set up at Stanford, even if it's like at the last minute or on a month delay, and finding housing, like some of that stuff might be easier if you're staying on the same coast as opposed to having to take airplanes. And so that could almost be another argument in favor of Stanford if there does need to be a delayed start, or just this, the, you know, the existing situation makes things more complicated.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah.
So, Alex Brown, do you have any final thoughts for Brad and Marcia? I mean, this is a tough dilemma, but again, as you said, maybe the smartest couple that's ever gone through this process to kind of run the table on so many schools.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. I hope they have a great time in Palo Alto, because I really reckon that's the decision to make. But I understand the dilemmas and so on and so forth. But yeah, fantastic opportunities, guys, and wish you guys the best of luck. Make the decision. Enjoy the next 2 years and go on and do something incredible with your lives. That's absolutely fantastic, and best of luck.
Yeah, really appreciate both of you making time.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure to be on the show, and we really appreciate your perspective. Thank you.
So, Alex, we'll be back in a week's time. I don't know if we'll do this live thing again. We'll see. We'll have to see what people say about it. But I really enjoyed getting to finally speak with, you know, some real candidates. And, you know, just it was really fun to kind of chat with both Marsha and Brad. So, yeah, everyone stay healthy. Alex, any final words for our listeners this week?
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks to our guests and stay safe, everybody. Yeah, our thoughts are obviously with everybody. We're all dealing with the same situation, but that doesn't make it any better for any of us. So best of luck, stay safe, and we'll look forward to our next episode of Wiretaps.
All right, thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week.